This is a People First Radio podcast.
After years of construction work, new shelter space is expected to open this month in downtown Nanaimo. The Salvation Army Center of Hope is located at 19 Nickel Street. Formerly known as the New Hope Center, it houses a shelter and other outreach programming. Construction has been ongoing since 2023 for a new four-story expansion at the site that's going up in place of a now-demolished 19th century building. Last week, as the finishing touches were being applied, Executive Director Bern Muller spoke with me about plans for the new space.
Well, thanks very much. My name is Bern Muller. I'm the Executive Director of the Salvation Army Center of Hope in downtown Nanaimo, 19 Nickel Street.
And some renovations are almost finished. We are standing in that building. It is going to be ready to open in June, you've told me. What do these renovations, what are they going to allow you to do?
Well, we're super excited to be opening this facility. It's going to give us an additional 34 spaces for people to shelter. And while they're sheltering with us, we will continue to provide services to support them and to help them as they move in a journey towards wellness and recovery. The main floor of our building provides a dining space and a commercial kitchen. And we'll be using that to feed people who are registered and staying with us in our shelter, as well as opening it for windows during the day for people who are not in a shelter to be able to come in and to access some food, a cup of coffee, and that sort of thing.
And the building we're standing in is new. It is gone in the space of a building that was from 1893 that was knocked down to build these new renovations. While that's all been going on, you've still been operating a little bit out of half of the building. What has that been like? What have you been able to do while these renovations have been going on?
Thank you. It's a great question because we've had all of our residents staying in the one side of our building. That dorm has been accommodating 34 people, and it is being renovated in a matter of months. So that renovation is going to renew the building, especially for washroom, showers, the heating and cooling, and the air system for the new building, for the renovated building. Those guests will be serviced in program space that's going to be across the main floor of both buildings where they're conjoined on the Nickel Street side. We'll be able to provide programming to people who are registered to stay with us, as well as offering services to people who are not registered in a shelter. It's really important that people become connected to community services and that they're able to find places where they're able to get help and to support that they need to be able to move forward in life.
Could you walk me through how someone registers at the shelter? What are kind of the things they need to do on their end, and what are the things you need to do on your end for someone to be able to come and stay at the shelter?
Absolutely. People who are needing shelter will come to our door in the morning, and they'll ask if there's space. If we have space, then there's an intake process where that person will meet with one of our caseworkers and will determine if we are in fact able to help and support that person. If we are able to help them, they'll be brought into the facility, and then there will be the beginning of a sequence of steps where we have meaningful conversations, and we determine what kinds of supports we're able to put in place to help that person. Initially, when someone comes into a shelter, they have a very, very simple list of needs. They need a safe place to be. They need a warm meal, a warm shower, and some clean clothes. After they've had an opportunity to have a night's rest, our caseworkers will meet with them and start to determine where the barriers are that are preventing that person from being able to have a more self-directed life.
And what is the demand that you're seeing for the shelter? Are you having to turn people away every night? Do you know roughly how many?
There's a huge need. Our city has had steadily increasing point-in-time count numbers, which is a measure of homelessness. There are very limited shelter beds in the city. We're extremely excited to be able to offer this increase in numbers and to be able to offer the programming that helps people to move forward and to become more self-sufficient.
And so the building we're standing in is multiple stories, is brand new construction. How have you been able to make this happen?
Yeah, that's also an excellent question, because the Salvation Army is guided by a principle where they want to answer human need where they see it. And in Nanaimo, we see a tremendous amount of human need. The building that we have constructed meets modern building standards, and it is not inexpensive to build a purpose-built facility. But the four stories that we have built are internally funded by the Salvation Army. We will be again inviting people to participate in our Hope Luncheon, which happens in November each year. We'll be approaching the community and explaining how this is an opportunity for them to make a constructive and impactful change for people who are unable to make that change for themselves. So we're hopeful that community sponsors and donations will help us to cover the cost of this building.
And you were explaining to me that the hope on your end is that by the winter, the building you've got now that has still been in operation, you'll be able to use that as a winter shelter. Can you explain?
That's correct. We're hoping that that building will be ready for service after the renovations, and that for the winter of 2026, we'll be able to open those doors as a winter shelter, offering 34 beds to the community, as well as hopefully offering space for some mats. When the weather becomes extremely cold, the city of Nanaimo opens mat program across the city. So there are limited mats, but where we have space and where we're able to accommodate people, different service providers try to step in and to provide warm shelter for a person to sleep on the floor.
And the 34 beds you mentioned, that would be a new service. That's not something you've offered in past winters?
That's correct. We haven't had the space previously, but because of these new four floors that have been added to our building, we now have an additional 34 beds. That takes us to 68.
And you were talking about the process where caseworkers, if someone is staying in the shelter, will try and kind of get to know them, if maybe once they've stabilized or been here for a while, try and identify maybe what is preventing them from getting housing. Could you talk me through what you have seen happen in some of those cases, if there have been people that you have helped find housing, and how that has worked?
Right. That's also an excellent question. Our caseworkers will meet with each of our guests at least once a week. If our guests have other questions and would like additional supports, they can meet more frequently. Our chaplain will also meet with every guest on a regular basis. And what we're trying to determine is how can we connect the person who is staying with us with services in the community that can continue to support them. The Salvation Army is a place where people can land and where we can help them progressing their own healing and wholeness so that they are able to access other community services and government services as they move forward in independence. So we're working closely with a lot of community partners, and wherever possible, we want to introduce people to resources that they will be able to continue to access even after they leave our facility.
Do you have a sense of, and I know we're talking about a new building that's going to open up that is going to provide more shelter spaces than you've had before, but with what you've already been doing, do you have a sense of, say, in the last year or so, how many or if there have been people that you've connected to sort of full-time housing elsewhere in the community?
Yeah, people do leave our facility and successfully move into either transitional shelter space that's available, or sometimes people who have stayed with us, they choose to enroll in a program that we call a Pathway of Hope, which can extend their stay while they continue to work sometimes on a certification or some other kind of a tool that's going to help them to access market housing. We have guests who leave our facility having made acquaintance here, or they partner with someone else who's in a similar situation, and they've successfully moved into rental. Sometimes they move into transitional housing. But people who have a desire to recover and a desire to develop their own capacity for self-determination, they do receive support of the Salvation Army that helps them to move in that direction.
just a couple of months ago, a drop-in hub that was located not far from where we're having this conversation closed down. Have you seen that closure make an impact in your work? Like, have you been able to notice the difference since it has closed?
Yes, all across the city. There are service providers that have taken steps to mobilize. There are a lot of vehicles on the road that are providing supports of all kinds, innovative ways to provide support to the street community and people who are in need of those supports. One of the things that the Salvation Army has done, we've added a meal program, which is provided through an EDS, we call it, an emergency response vehicle, that our division, our provincial body, has stationed here in Nanaimo. And we drive that vehicle out every morning, 5 days a week at the moment. We're just on the cusp of opening the weekends with the help of volunteers, and we deliver nutritious breakfast for people between 7 and 10 in the morning. We rely heavily on volunteers to help us with that and supporters who help us with the provision of the foodstuffs, and our staff then cook the meals, prepare the meals, and we distribute them into the community.
And so when you've been going out and doing that, is that something, when you're doing that, have you seen a difference in the last couple of months since the closure of the hub? Or is that something that, like, you have stepped up in your efforts to do that since the closure of the hub?
I think it's fair to say that the need in the community has been growing and that the hub was meeting a lot of that need in the facility that they were operating on Nickel Street. When the facility closed, the need didn't go away. And other service providers, including the Salvation Army and including the Island Crisis Care, who were operating out of the hub, have really stepped up what they're able to do through other means. And one of the means has been to take the services to the street, mobilize through different vehicles, and trying to provide the supports that people still desperately need.
And we're talking about this new multiple-story building that is going to be opening up in June. How is it going as far as meeting the staffing needs that will accompany that?
The staffing needs are covered. The Salvation Army has adequate staffing, and we're going to be moving over a period of a couple of weeks from the building that we're operating in currently into the new facility, bringing our off-site kitchen back into the Salvation Army building on 19 Nickel, and all of the meals will be prepared and served here. The efficiency of that will help us to be able to expand the number of people that we're serving. So we will be opening our doors to people who are not staying with us, but who still need access to a warm meal and a place to sit down with safety and comfort and dignity.
Now, obviously, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be a need for shelters like this. How do you evaluate success with what you're doing?
That's a very interesting question that you've asked, because yes, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be a need for shelter. There would be sufficient supports for people to thrive and people to be successful. But we are in a society where people do fall through the cracks for multiple reasons. And when things fall apart, they tend to fall apart dramatically, and they tend to continue to fall apart until community services intervene and provide help, and then we can help to move people in an upward trajectory where they can increase their own capacity for health and self-determination. That does require patience, and it does require time. But the Salvation Army has been working here in Nanaimo since 1888, and will continue to do so long as there is people who are in need of food, who are in need of shelter, who are in need of compassion, who are in need of counseling, direction, and spiritual care.
The building we're talking in is in a very prominent location in Nanaimo. Anyone who's kind of driving by on the main highway is going to see the building. They might not necessarily ever go in it. Is there a message that you would want to share with the community about the work that gets done?
For sure. First, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to anyone who is interested or curious and would like to meet with me or to tour the facility. I'm always willing to do that. I would also very, very strongly like to encourage people to become involved, either through assisting with our meal distribution program in the morning, which relies on volunteers, or through financial contributions that help us to keep our programs operating and to keep the facility open. There is another wonderful opportunity in November on the 25th in the Convention Center, and we will be hosting our annual Hope in the Harbor. That is a luncheon, and it's an event where we present information. We explain what the Salvation Army in Nanaimo is doing. We explain what we would like to be able to do in the coming year, and we invite financial support. There is also a quarterly report that's put out about the work that we're doing, and that is on our website, so people can find the information there. But always there are opportunities for volunteers, and always there is a very, very large need for financial support. So those are two huge areas where people can help us.
Is there anything else you'd like to highlight about the renovations or the new services you're hoping to offer real soon?
Only that we are extremely grateful to the city of Nanaimo and to the citizens of Nanaimo for the way that they help us and allow us to be able to work impactfully on the streets of this city. It's a real privilege to be able to meet human beings who are in distress and who are in need of help, and to have the resources to be able to make some change for people and to open doors for opportunity. There is certainly a path forward for disadvantaged individuals to regain health, to be able to function more fully, and to be able to have the autonomy in their lives that the rest of us take for granted.
Bern, thank you very much for showing me around and taking the time to speak with me.
It's been a great privilege. Thank you.
Bern Muller is Executive Director of the Salvation Army Nanaimo Center of Hope. We were speaking about renovations to the facility in downtown Nanaimo.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.